Holy T-balls. This episode of Arrow was amazing. We've got a full panel. We've got two special guests. This episode was so good. We're excited to talk about season 6, episode 11, We Fall. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We went old G with the music today. It's very intense.
Very serenading.
That's so good. You guys, you women, you people, you Arrow fans. Let's jump into it, because this was just a freaking great episode.
It was so good.
I love the show, everybody. Okay, everybody. First, let's introduce ourselves, and then we're going to talk about our two special guests. I'm Matt Marr. You can find me at M-A-T-T, M-A-R-R, two T's, two R's. Ladies.
Hi, I'm Olivia Di Bortoli. I haven't been here the past few weeks.
But you're back.
I'm back. I'm back with a vengeance. You can find me everywhere at Olivia Di Bortoli.
Hi, guys. It's Linda Antwi. All across social media, Linda's so girly. Super excited about today's episode.
And we're super excited about our guests, Sean Ward and Mike Fallon.
Oh,
yes.
If you guys don't know, then you're not in the know. The Sean Ward Show
is hilarious. So tell everybody where they can find
you. Oh, you go youtube.com/The Sean Ward Show.
Great.
And just put my name into the Google machine and you'll get it all.
You guys, he's that famous. You just put his name. If you put my name in, you get somebody from like Canada who was on So You Think You Can Dance.
Stop it.
Mike Fallon, tell everybody where they can find
y'all. You can find me under the panhandle of KingdomKid90, Instagram, Twitter, all that goodness. Or under Citizen Cinema, which is my show.
Citizen Cinema. All right. So let's, real quick, before we jump into Arrow, I just want to tell our, and last but not least, you guys should know, we've got a live chat that's going up on the TV. I don't know if y'all can read it, but we can. So there's actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sorry, I'm from Oklahoma. Slow the count. There's 6 hosts in the show because our audience, they are on this panel as well. And so they're going
to
be jumping in, giving us the opinions. So just to let you know, to look out for that. We're so glad you're here.
Yes.
So tell everybody a little bit because, both of your DC or just comic book nerdom runs deep. So tell everybody. So Sean, tell everybody about the Sean Ward Show. Huge hit on YouTube. You're all over the place.
We got the number one most watched superhero genre channel.
So we get, wow.
Yeah, we get over 1 to 2 million views a day. People are watching our stuff in over 200 countries. We do
because it's really freaking funny.
It's hilarious. Yeah. So it's all like a lot of your favorite cosplayers, some of the big ones with their own followings and whatnot. Any Comic Con we go to, people know who we are and whatnot. We just make these superhero parody videos week in and week out. You just catch those new videos every week. This year we're going really hard doing the extra length 10-minute plus movie parodies for all the big movies, the Marvel DC movies that come out.
About to go
down. So that's a whole new expansion to the program this year.
I see someone sitting beside you that would be an excellent choice to be a Black Panther.
I'm
just saying.
We got a homie that's
Mike Fallon. We just cast you. No,
all day. Sorry, Chadwick. You had a good run, dog. But it is what it is, bro.
It is the way it is. So, Mike, tell everybody how you've been on some videos. Tell everybody what kind of stuff you do.
Okay, cool. So I'm a filmmaker, dancer. Been a crump dancer for 13 years.
I mean, you're in La La Land.
I'm in the first 5 minutes of La La Land. When they zoom in on the moving truck and open it, I come out from the side in all red. I'm also in the ending when Ryan and Emma, spoiler alert, go into the jazz club together when they have the good ending.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you fade in, you see me in all orange, and right next to me is my mom. We're extras in the ending. It's like a little Easter egg. And plus, she's a Latina who loves Ryan Gosling, and I don't want to get stabbed, so I had to bring her on set.
Yeah,
for my own safety.
For your own safety, yes.
I pick and choose my battles.
Nice.
So yeah, besides that, I write, I interview celebrities. I've interviewed actors from Daredevil, The Flash. I interviewed the Weather Wizard, actually, Nobu from Daredevil. And then me and Sean, we met in 2015 at LA Comic Con he was at 250,000.
Yeah, just coming in on like 200,000 about then. Yeah, yeah.
And then what happened was we hung out because of our friend Derek. Shout out to Derek. He introduced us, and we hung out at Fat Burger. Was it Fat Burger?
One of them, yeah, probably.
Hey. Fat Burger has a very good turkey burger.
And so we've been thick as thieves. We're like 2/3 of an Oreo. So, yeah, and then we collaborated on one of his Spider-Man videos. It's a parody of Spider-Man Homecoming. And shout out to Snowy Spidey and Vegan Spidey for Vegan Spider-Man for filming, and we're our cast and crew on that. It's now at, 325,000
That one's a little over 300,000, nice. Yeah.
They're very funny.
Yeah, so he plays Iron Man in that. I play a black version of Jon Favreau. And
I can see that.
Yeah,
that's good casting.
It is good casting.
That's good time.
That's awesome.
I love it.
So that's a little bit about us.
Well, I'll have to definitely check out all the videos.
Yeah,
yes. I saw some of them and they're super funny.
They're really good.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. And anybody out there watching, like if you ever see us at a Comic Con, like make sure you say hi because every once in a while, people I'll find out later. I saw you at the Comic Con, but didn't say hi. I was too scared to say hi.
That's the best when you meet people that love your stuff. That's the best.
It's literally what we're there for. So please come say hi.
We're fans too, you guys. Like we're not that Hollywood yet.
Yeah,
we're used to LA. We're like, especially if someone's eating, don't fucking talk to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't
it's
do
food,
it,
bro. You food don't and family it. You don't mess with.
Real quick, someone on the chat said, Blob said, "What's their YouTube? It sounds kind of dope." So you want to tell your YouTube channel again?
Yeah, it's the Sean Ward Show. So my name is Sean Ward, SEANWARD. So just the word "the" and the word "show" to make it the whole thing.
Cool.
And
the Sean Ward
you go.
Show. There you go,
there
you Blob 989.
Yeah,
there
you go. Check that out.
Also,
and, hit us
Renji,
up on the socials.
Thanks for it's 1:30 a.m. where Renji is. So thanks for stopping by and staying up for us.
Oh,
it means
thank
a
you,
lot.
Ren.
That's awesome,
fellow East Coaster.
Shall we jump in to this crazy episode?
We got notes for episode. Days.
Let's jump in. Yeah, it's going to be a lot. Then we're going to have to take a break and do a little live read and calm ourselves down. And then we're going to go back in and jump into this. And I will, when somebody else is talking later on, I'll just blog into my Twitter on DMattMar and I will put some links to your YouTube stuff.
So oh, I love it. Thank you.
Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, of course. So, boy, this episode started out so calm. It's like Oliver's playing toy arrow, bow and arrow, which I loved. We were just talking last week. We didn't get a lot of domesticity.
Yes.
In the episode. I mean, overall, I'm probably going to say this like five times, and you mentioned this too while we're watching. This is some of the best writing I think we've gotten on the show the entire season. It was just.
I agree.
It was just on point, believable. Let's first thoughts. Like, what stood out for you?
I was surprised that it was so because the last episode ended so crazy, and I was like, why are they just like playing, you know, shooting some arrows right now? Like, why isn't he saving the world? But I get it; he needs to spend time with Oliver.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was cute that was their little bonding thing.
Yeah. You know what? I liked how it all tied together. I mean, last week we talked about, and I think I specifically said and got a lot of flack for saying
yeah,
that
people were saying we were hating.
They were mad. But you guys were mad at me, but
yeah.
They
didn't. We're honest.
They didn't seem like a married couple, and this episode, I feel like they wrapped it together, and they seem like a couple that has been married for a long time, doing everyday things, spending time with the son, and just it just looked like it should be Elicity.
Yeah.
That looked like Elicity to me. Last week it did not, so I thought that
Felicity was good.
Yeah, it was a great episode.
I was. And what did you guys think? First thoughts?
Well, I thought my first thing about it was that this is an episode that played a lot of delicate balance with really, really big explosive moments, but then also with like really quiet, intimate moments.
Sean Ward dropping the wisdom,
dictionary over here.
Right off the bat. Speak. It really was like it kind of, speak to that because that really, you're so right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, in the same episode as you can have this beautiful moment with father and son playing with the toy, you know, the little Nerf bow and arrow is the same episode where you're going to see that orderly in the hospital just like cartoonishly get blown all the clear across the room.
Yeah.
But at the same episode, you're going to get like these little, almost like a painterly flourish. How like there was a shot where like there was a school bus on the road and everything was in this very monochromatic look except the school bus. The yellow of the school bus was the only color on the screen.
Yeah. Ooh.
So a lot of these.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a lot of these kinds of these, this mishmash of, I don't want to say mishmash of styles, but like kind of playing with the reality of it, playing with what you know, exaggeration for effect versus, you know, knowing when to pull back.
I love that. Yeah. That was awesome. I want to shout out, where did I see it? Someone in the chat said that they had renewed faith. Oh, there it is. Renewed faith in Felicity. Dancer Fruit 2. Love that. I'm renewed faith in them as well.
Hi, Dancer Fruit. Oh, and hi, Ivan. Are you going to be nice to us tonight?
Ivan's a hashtag truth talker, and I love it. I love him for it.
Ivan hates Elicity. I don't understand why.
I like it, but
this episode should have really made you love them.
I did like them more. I think one of my favorite lines is just the way Oliver's like said, just to his son, he was like, just go and take your flash backpack. Because I've seen it before, like, he's not pissed, and you know he is a little. You know it a little.
But it's all good, though, because the Flash is in jail right now.
Yeah.
It's true.
I wonder if he knows that.
I think he's happy about it.
And you know what's interesting that I wrote down? It's when he said, take your flash backpack and go learn something, those are all shows that I watched. So the Flash is the backpack, and go learn something. I watched a show called NCIS New Orleans, and the lead character always says, go learn things.
Oh, that
was
super funny to me.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So they have this little moment, and we get to this domesticity, and then Well, people are dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, what were you saying?
Speaking of, so we had like a subtle death of like a recurring, like low tier character, Officer Pike.
Yep.
Because he was like referenced through like the past seasons. Yeah. I remember when Lance was like shamed like a couple seasons ago, and it took away his badge. And Pike was the one that took away his badge, and then now he's dead. So he's like, he was like one of those characters. He's like, what is this for Star Trek? He was a red shirt. You know, he was an elongated red shirt. He had to go, but basically he was like the MacGuffin that kept pushing part of the episode because you heard his name throughout the past episodes. It's supposed to make sure that you have like some type of anchor towards his death, yeah. Even though it wasn't like fully like realized. I guess if we had more time with him, it'd be more impactful. But it was just like cannon fodder. It was just like, oh well.
Yeah,
I did remember him because he is handsome.
Yeah. Holly on the chat says, "I agree with you. I agree with you."
Ivan about it. Oliver and Laurel.
He was a jerk to Lance, but he was a good man. So
he was.
She was sad about it.
That actor's Adrian Holmes. Good
and
job.
And then I missed one, but Ivan's. Matt, they had a question for you.
Yeah.
They were saying that I think that we're missing Auntie Thea, but what do you think about Felicity as stepmommy?
Oh, well, sure. Let's jump into that. Speaking of quiet moments, I think that... it is.
Thank you.
You know, just like my parents remember coming from divorce, my father's had three stepmoms at this point. So, but I remember when he's younger, it is just as intense to a son, like that emotional intenseness, like you were saying, it's just as intense as like his father fighting a battle.
Yeah.
And I think they show that again so well. This is totally jumping the gun, but like, That fight scene at the end where there was not this big crazy music, but just her and William having this conversation.
Yeah.
And while they were almost with no music at all while they were fighting, it made me a little teary.
Yeah.
It actually, because it humanized Oliver in a way that I hadn't seen before. What did y'all think about? So I'm loving the stepmom relationship.
Yes,
what are y'all
I
thinking?
I really think she bloomed into that role so well this episode. Like you said, that was one of my favorite scenes that I've seen in a long time. It was where it was
in a long time, yeah.
Where it was the fighting, and then it was just her being a mom and explaining the situation to him. And I was like, wow, this is this. I'm seeing her in a whole new. I mean, I love her.
Obviously, you do love her.
I just see her in a whole new light now, and I thought it was great.
Yeah. Not to mention, give it up for the acting chops on that actress. Who, like, you could almost see over the course of the episode, you could go from her, you could watch her go from like having a little bit more of, I don't want to call it a standoffish relationship, but you could tell that the closeness isn't quite there with young William. And then you can watch that bond develop over the course of this episode, so that by the time they're having the conversation that you're just talking about, you can really see that like a real connection has been established there just since we turned the show on today. You know what I mean?
I feel what you mean, because the thing is, I mean, we'll talk about this later on about his brooding, because he gets that from his dad. But it's just that...
Oh, he does. You're totally right.
Yeah, he does. It's just the thing is with the writing, I understand, because a lot of people out there are upset because they're purists. Because it was one Arrow with Black Canary.
I did it first.
Yeah,
I did.
Same here.
I did.
I know how you feel.
I was angry.
But I feel like with the way that they're replacing it and they're switching it up in the series, it's now making more sense for Felicity to take on the role she's at right now, because she went from being, tech support to a lover to now a caring mother and a vigilante on the side.
Yeah.
So it's basically she's a woman who's had to endure so much that a woman shouldn't have to, and now she's coming into her own with her own comfortability being outside the war zone. Just like how you know some soldiers come back and have to get reassimilated back into their older roles. She has to get assimilated now into a whole new role of dealing with war, politics, and being a mother.
And just to jump in on that as well, that ending scene where they sat down with William and they're like, you know, as a family, we're going to sit down, which we haven't seen before, all three of them. And then William saying, well, you know, it's okay. I understand you have to help Star City. And then he's like, I have Felicity.
Yeah.
I thought that was a super beautiful moment.
Yeah. It was bittersweet also, like they were saying, because it was like kind of a dig at Ollie too, being like, well, I guess it would be okay because... You know, now I have Felicity. So she was like, oh, yeah, it was a bittersweet moment a little bit.
Well, I got to put this out to you guys. I made a note about this while we were watching the episode. Because you know how children, when they're starting to get to that age where They're starting to be able to cotton on to like noticing noticing the ways in which adults are keeping things from them, even if they don't know what it is, mm-hmm. or starting to notice. You know, yeah. so a lot of times a kid has to face up to like these kinds of levels of adult responsibility, and they'll kind of put on a brave face and kind of say things that they think the adults want to hear. And I was curious what you guys thought about with William in this episode. How much of it was him actually being okay with all this or being honest, and how much of it is him saying what he thinks Felicity or thinks that the other adults want to hear?
I feel like William, since day one, has always said exactly what he's thought. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he wasn't, just my opinion, I feel like he wasn't hiding anything. That I think what after Felicity showed him everything, you know, on the computer screen and covering his eyes and stuff, I feel like he was like, okay, you know what, I get it now. And he was being honest, because he's always, since day one, has always been like, I don't like this, I like this, like, yeah. very mm-hmm. open about it. So, I mean, that's just my opinion, though.
And what she was saying earlier to Oliver when they talked about, just talk to him, he just wants honesty, yeah. and mentioning her dad and how she loved him despite everything that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
What she hated was that he wasn't honest. He wasn't honest with who he was and what he was doing. Yeah. So I think that honesty is what William appreciated.
Yeah. And watching how heavy, like now that he's in on the secret, and watching how heavy that affects him and how that affects like what he knows and how he goes about his day, like watching the weight the toll that's going to have on him going forward, I think that's going to be an interesting thread throughout the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the writers would be wise to really lean into that.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Do you think we're going to see him as some type of vigilante as
well?
Yes. For sure.
I hope not till he gets a little bit older.
A little young, but although really young Robin's cool, so yeah. you know.
That's true.
That's true, depending on which Robin it is.
Yeah.
The thing is that with him, is like they sort of like play their cards a little too early with the Connor Hawk future Flash in the DC Legends of Tomorrow, because Connor Hawk, you know, was his son in white, and then made like John Diggle's son in black. So I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to like backtrack in like a backdoor retcon to where right now he's brooding, he's an angry teen with angst who doesn't like his father, the mother he loved is dead.
Because we saw the heroism.
Exactly.
Yeah,
But that's why they had him and his dad play with toy bow and arrows. So that way it's like little crumbs about what's going to happen in the yeah. future. Because mm-hmm. remember, in the comics, when Oliver has his son and is the mayor, his son is a badass. His son, in the comics, his son is one of the top 20 best hand-to-hand fighters in all the DC comics. The only person that definitely can kill any of those people on the TV show is Richard Dragon, who they remixed in this season as just Dragon, the drug dealer.
Kind of weak.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, there's the OG version of him, and then the new 52 version is the one that we got, the one that was supplying Diggle with the drugs.
Yeah.
But back to the kid. So basically, they're trying to have us feel for this kid in his forthcoming of what he's gonna be,
mm-hmm.
because we got it. We have to get through the BS of him being an angry kid. It's like, oh, my dad lies to me. They keep secrets from me. Then it's gonna lead to like, okay, I understand. Now I want to be in the family business, because he's gonna admire his dad and he's gonna learn the skill sets. And then he'll be as equal of a threat or more of a threat than his own father is, just like it is in the comics.
I'm just looking. Ivan wants to know if William could become Red Arrow.
I mean, we already got Arsenal, and then we already got Rory.
Rory's coming back.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
In real life, he's like the
Coulson's
nicest person.
Coming back. Yeah. Super excited. Well, and then, you know what I think, too, in watching this is I've kind of felt like with Oliver, with William, they kind of thought in the first episode of this season that he was going to be a big part, and then he was and he wasn't. It was kind of like, I felt like sometimes they were like, oh, we need something to go here. Let's put a William scene or like a William moment. But now, in watching this episode, I think actually the writers, they knew what they were doing, because I think they wanted a slow burn on this. Because now that they've, because you felt like he wasn't connected, but probably that's the way Oliver and Felicity felt. And now, I don't know, did y'all feel like for once, I felt like I came away with this that, really in a weird, like, I always feel like Oliver was closer to the team than his family.
Yeah.
But now that the team's broken up, I feel like kind of the core of Oliver and this is his family unit.
Him. Yeah.
If I could add on to that real quick.
Do it. That's why you're here,
yeah,
Mike.
So the reason it's like that, I mean, another thing a lot of people want to talk trash about is like how Arrow is like Batman. They have similar paradigms, but the thing is, Bruce Wayne has Robins because he can never be happy. That he asked Robbins to make sure they can never become like him. But with Arrow, you can do the opposite. Without the team, he has his family, because the thing is, all he knows is pain. If you're stuck on an island for 5 years because your dad killed himself, and you go through what Oliver did, that's going to mess with you repeatedly. It's going to seep in all parts of your life. But now with this new like these new obstacles, he's now has to see himself as a man that has to care for somebody other than himself, because the bond of a parent and a child is stronger than that of a team dynamic.
Yeah, that's true.
Because no athlete's going to choose their team over their child.
I agree with that. And speaking of athletes, there's a new show right now on Subway. There's a new show on the CW right now called Black Lightning, who's about a former Olympic athlete. Have y'all seen it yet?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, Mr. Terrific is a triathlete, though.
I know, so I know. Yeah, Mr. Terrific's underused, and we're going to talk about him in a little bit, and his Curtis's balls, which made me laugh a lot. But so, if you haven't checked it out on Tuesday is when CW's newest superhero suits up. Lightning's going to strike, so don't miss the new hit series, Black Lightning. Black Lightning is a.k.a. Jefferson Pierce. He had previously powered down his crime-fighting career, and for the last 9 years, he's been saving lives the best way he knows how as a principal of a local high school. It's pretty awesome. But in this city, when the hero's away, the gangs will play, and this dude's a family man. So when his daughters get caught in the crosshairs, it's time to take charge.
Now, the former hero is back in full force for a second round against corruption and violence, causing lightning to... Oh, because lightning does strike twice. It's dark days for the city of Freeland, but the storm is coming when Black Lightning brings his power to the people.
So critics are saying Black Lightning is positive, victorious, badass, like no other superhero show we've ever seen. The New York Post says it's an entertaining, edgy piece of escapism. Tuesday, the world will know Black Lightning. An all-new episode after The Flash, only on the CW.
And even Blob989 said, Black Lightning is so good. I honestly thought it was going to be corny, but it is anything.
Yeah, it's actually really good.
But it's great. And if you like Black Lightning, because we're going to talk about Arrow, because that's why we're here, be sure to check out the Black Lightning panel right here on AfterBuzz. I believe they air, Anthony said it's on Wednesday, right?
Wednesday at 6, but let me make sure it's
We will confirm that later on, Wednesday at 6. So let's jump into the newbies a little bit.
It is Wednesday at 6.
Great, thank you. Wednesday at 6, everybody, Black Lightning panel. So I think I loved, 1, 2, 3, suit up is going to be the best line, like, of the whole season. Yeah. What do you We talked a lot about this last week, and Olivia, you weren't here, so I want you to jump in. What are your thoughts on the split up of the teams? Do you like this direction, or are you already over it?
I'm over it, but I feel like it's not going to last long.
Agreed.
Because, I mean, they're already, like, kind of working together. They just need to get over their egos a little bit and just, like, just get over it and get back together. So I think like even next episode is when we're going to see them back together.
Sure. Okay. Well, I think that it's just the kind of thing that works perfect. Just as you got to put something in the middle of the season to give it some drama, to give it some, you know, something. And also it opens up new storylines for everybody, because now everybody involved with it is set up to like learn some kind of lesson about the importance of family or the importance of the team and being a team member. And that looks like where they're going with it. Also, nobody seems like they can stand to be out of that team for long.
I
think you're right. The breakup isn't going to last
long. Sean Ward, you are a good writer, because you think with such that mind. You're so. And well, seeing that.
To be totally serious, the filter that I run all through this stuff, whether the TV shows or the movies, is just this whole thing about like what superheroes and the stories that they're taking place in have to tell us about like human nature and ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
I always look at it as this very, very, very big, powerful, important message to us. So when I'm running it through that filter, it's really fun to like start extrapolating like what they're trying to tell us about ourselves, and like, you know, the thing that we all need in this life is to that big lesson about how no one can do anything themselves, and you gotta like kind of learn how to trust people, and that means being vulnerable, and like you start getting to these layers of like what it means to be a person almost that you can start examining through these giant archetypes of these superheroes. It's so much fun
because even Batman has the Bat family, and the funny thing is too that I think no one's talked about yet, the little outsider reference.
Ivan just mentioned that in the chat. He was asking Olivia and Matt if we caught that reference.
We all caught the reference.
For those who don't know, the Outsiders was a team actually formed with one of the founding members being Batman. Another member was a Metamorpho, a gentleman could change into any element. Katana, who you unfortunately saw in Suicide Squad. Black Lightning was an original member, and another guy named Geo-Force. The roster changes every now and then. So that's why it was funny that they brought that up, because it's a DC property. Outsiders, they're a team of misfits within their own right, having to come together.
It was pretty great. And Donna's like, I saw the movie. Like, she totally went the other way.
What is it? Really quickly, Zayas says, Sean, you should write the filler episodes in the Arrowverse because you're so eloquent.
Tell them to call me. I'm ready. Tell them two words. I'm ready.
He's ready. I'm ready.
You never know.
And I did tweet out both of your YouTube channels. So if you want to go to see their YouTube channels, be sure to go to the Matt Maher 2T2Rs, and you can follow you right there and get all your
over. Take a look. Get your laugh on.
Get your
also, we give away at the end of every single episode, we give away good stuff. Like
you just got a lot of people. I would I'm gonna be like, hey,
all day, every day, just
all day, every day. So again, I thought the writing really showed up, and I was just nice to see. I feel like the thing I do like about the split up of the team is I do love Mr. Terrific. I love him. Yes. I've read some of the comics. I love that character, and I feel like he's always been a little underserved. And I'm hoping we get some more of Curtis, because I feel like we're starting to.
The thing is, that's why they're highlighting the T-Sphere. For those who don't know,
T-Spheres are badass. Yeah. Exactly. That's how badass they are.
Because the thing is, like, right now, bro, no, you're good. We're fam. So it's just like, the thing is, now that's why they're trying to bring in more of the T-Spheres, more of the mythos, because Mr. Terrific, he, like in the comics, he's one of the most dangerous people on Earth.
Yeah.
Third smartest human, 14 PhDs. The T-Spheres, actually, in the comics, his mask isn't rubber. It's made out of nanobots.
Yeah.
And the earpieces help him telepathically connect with the T-Spheres. Even though I feel like when it comes to him being a fighter, I mean, if you're going to change his origins so much to what he is now in the TV show, at least let him be a good fighter.
Nothing. Yeah, I agree with that.
Because he's supposed to be like a new, LGB, the you know,
LGBT.
Exactly. Yeah. So if he's gonna be like that, make him just like how in Torchwood, the main character of Torchwood, he's bisexual, but you can't just beat him up like that. Like, he has hands for days. Like, he'll beat anybody's ass. Mr. Terrific's one of the most dangerous fighters in the DC universe as well. So he needs to be the same way. So I understand you try to use him. I love his bromance with Renee. I know he's going through drama being divorced from his husband. But if you're going to have Mr. Terrific, one of the most dangerous humans on Earth, you need to put that more into the show.
I agree with you. We talked about this last week. I think that since he's been Mr. Terrific and on Arrow, he's been underutilized. Yeah. And I'm hoping the split is going to make him, like, shine a little bit. And they utilize him and show all the great things that he can do.
Exactly.
And if you're going to make him, like you said, if you're going to make him not like the super ass badass that he is, at least make him a good fighter so that there's someone else that's the leader on the team.
Because the only thing good about him is that his power is that he gets magical cornrows every time they get to a fight scene. Yeah.
I do feel like he should have told his team faster, though, about...
thank you. I was going to bring that up.
About what the intel that he got. He brought them into the...
Last episode was all about trust and communication.
I know. And, like, you can't... You have to wait till the end to tell them. Like, after everything is done, you're like, oh, by the way, this is how I got my intel. Like, I would have been more upset if I were them.
That was shady.
You should have told us. You should have told us sooner.
Right? Yeah, but his allegiance is still to Elicity, and that's that. Like, even though he's newer, he's still, like, Oliver.
It's OTA, not just Elicity.
That's what I'm saying. OTA.
That's so funny. No, I agree. I'm not the lead. We're doing it all together. What's that?
I just want to talk about Diggle a little bit.
Yes.
Because I was going to talk about Diggle.
Okay.
Yeah. You mean Robo Diggle?
I need a cigarette when I talk about Diggle, and I don't even smoke.
Because
the thing is, okay, so I read, and we talked about this, like, I don't know, Arrow after shows ago, but he really does want to be the Green Arrow. Like, he wants that leadership role.
He does.
And that's going to be part of the split, in my opinion,
when
they all come back together. I think that he's not going to be okay with not being the lead anymore.
He was so annoying about, like being upset about it. You know what I mean? Like, not really wanting it and just doing it for Oliver.
Well, he's
and, like,
Arrow. Having he all brooded.
These, and, or having, yeah, doing it for Ollie. He, like, he had all the of these reasons. I know. And I was like, either want it or don't want it.
But
don't,
deep
like,
down, he really wanted it. Yeah.
That was
it was annoying. A classic case of, oh, no, I couldn't. Oh, no, I couldn't. Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah. It's hilarious that you guys say that, because you know what? It's like, hey, keep bringing it up, man. That's just like a Batman dynamic when it comes to a Robin. Because some Robins are like, I don't want to ever be Batman. I don't ever, but then they all end up like him somehow in the future. Like, what if story or yeah. like evil version. They just did it in the comics again, where the third Robin version of him for 20 years in the future came back as Batman. And the thing is with Diggle, it's like I don't like how now like him and Felicity have like the implants, because like now everybody on Team Rose become like a cyborg.
It is true. Kind of a MacGuffin. Like, how do we, yeah. how do we solve a problem? Well, we'll just put a chip in them.
If they were smart about it, they would have had him find another way. Because the thing about being a superhero, especially in these type of shows, you need to show that you can overcome everything without a cheat.
And he was a soldier.
Exactly.
You know?
Soldiers aren't like that. Like, yeah. they don't take like cop outs. Like, they work their asses off for what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and that's the thing is with Diggle is like he's that dude like he put himself at risk in the first few seasons protecting Oliver's secret and joining his team, and that like they're supposed to have like this type of brotherhood where they can read each other on that level. But now like we mm-hmm. were saying with his insecurity wanting to be the Arrow, and then they keep giving them these weird suits. That new yeah. suit is just so tacky.
Yeah, what do you think? I don't understand the new suit. That just seemed out of.
It looks like something from like the Day of the Dead celebration. I don't know what's happening.
I know that the costume designer really loves leather here, but I feel like we can use other materials.
Yes. And why does he have a new suit? Like, we didn't even. Yeah. Why? Why all of a sudden we're in a new suit for him?
Because they wasted the Guardian thing on Jimmy Olsen. They could have used it on Diggle.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, yeah, Guardian would have been.
Yeah, man.
Okay, go to my because DC Greg Berlanti, these yeah. two guys,
yeah. Mike right. Fallon,
Mike Fallon, and Sean Ward.
He's dropping
I'm here,
knowledge.
Baby.
Dropping knowledge.
I'm not just a pretty face and a thick waist. Okay? I'm trying to tell people, man, they think because I have Forrest Whitaker face. So
I'm telling that to my boyfriend tonight.
You gotta tell him. Yeah. But when you do it, look him right in the eyes and do it. You have to look him right in the eyes.
That was good.
You're welcome. You killed that after show
every day. Mike Fallon, I'm here all for this podcast.
He totally took me out of the zone right now. Like, tears.
It's called the Fallon effect.
Oh, my God.
But back to the show, guys. I know you guys have fun.
You
got to
bring it back.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Suit up. Let's get back.
Never just that. How about this? Let's jump to the vigilante.
Zias Bilu, by the way, said, yeah, Sean and Mike know their shit.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yo.
I guessed. Whatever.
Again, two-thirds of an Oreo. Don't forget that.
But do we think that he's going to be the Green Arrow again, or is that over? Is that done? What do we think?
It's a cop out. Are you tearing up?
She's crying.
She is crying. I don't.
The subject
makes her emotional.
I mean, I don't think so. I think if he kind of breaks off and does his own thing, I think that again, I feel like that's a character that's been a little underutilized and kind of I kind of feel like the point of like setting up a history of somebody is like a good writer knows that we use that history because it enhances a character. But when's the last time we saw Diggle's wife? When's the last time we saw Diggle's son? I feel like they've kind of thrown out his history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah,
exactly. I feel like if there was a break, I would like to I almost still think they mentioned a spinoff. I almost think like even if they had like a non superhero show, if they just had like a procedural with like Diggle running it.
What if it's a sitcom? Forget a procedural. It's a half hour sitcom but him living in a house with his wife and kids.
Hey.
Diggle and Argus.
I don't watch that man do anything. When he was beating that
stick
thing.
Oh my gosh,
thing,
I was like, oh, he is back. Wow.
I got the
Diggle.
Vapor. I mean, Lord. He is hot. But I don't know. I just feel like they're maybe if they do break, I think he's a great actor, a really good actor, and they've given him so much history, and
he's wasted.
Yeah, it's wasted.
Because
yeah.
The piggyback off what you're saying is this. The whole point of the show is we're supposed to care about the main character, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you bring in a whole team dynamic and a wife. You need to utilize them more. I understand this thing's all about Oliver, but since you're going to bring in Team Arrow, then you need to show more. I want to see more about Renee trying to be a good father to his daughter.
Yeah.
I want to see more of the new Black Canary falling in love with Vigilante, but not being a one-note, like, what you call it?
She's kind of a one-note badass.
Yeah.
That's her thing. She's always tough.
She's like, basically, how'd I say it? She's like Black Widow on Lifetime Channel had a love child. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, he's switching sides. I want more of a third dimension because we need better character writing for women. Because first off, if she's supposed to be like the only like the toughest chick on the block, and you saw what she did, she stopped the train tonight.
Yeah.
She stopped
the
train.
Which that was one of the best things we've ever seen on the show. That was badass.
If you can stop a train, you can act and show me more backstory. I want to see, like I said, dig in more with Renee, dig in more with her. Let's see Diggle try to be a father to a son, and then let's see him struggle being a husband. Because if you walked in and your spouse was a drug addict, That's a whole different thing you could have filled up time with.
Yeah.
But I understand we got to focus on Caden and his little issues with his little anti-Arrow team.
That was good writing, though, in his scene with Oliver. It was good writing for Caden.
I get that. But if we're going to have Team Arrow, I want to see Team Arrow. I don't want to see Team Arrow light. Or it's like, if you're going to give me Coke, give me Coke. I don't
Go
want
ahead
Coke.
And preach, Mike. Preach it.
That's
preach.
What I'm, that's what I'm
He's
saying.
Dropping
and
knowledge. Then,
let me see Curtis suffer without his husband. Let's
he
see,
is.
I'm just saying, I want to delve into it. Let's see him by himself, crying in a room, looking at a picture of the man he loves.
Yeah.
And then let's see him look at the freaking T-sphere, work on the T-sphere, put himself into his work, become more of a badass instead of a one-trick pony.
Yeah, I agree with that. Somebody put it on the chat earlier, and somebody just said, "Preach, Mike." Ivan.
Hashtag.
Whoa, Ivan Soto, who is our truth talker, just said, "I really like these dudes."
Wow.
So you got the Ivan Soto seal of approval.
You got the Ivan cosign.
I even haven't gotten the Ivan.
You ain't got the Ivan cosign.
I've been here for a little
bit. We got the Ivan cosign over here all day.
That's probably what it is.
Can we talk a little bit about the vigilante?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that.
Yes.
Go.
So I mean, for vigilante, I mean, I guess it just boils down to this: do we trust him?
No.
Why would you?
Like I said, he's like a switch, just on and off.
I kind of too.
Oh my gosh, you fall for bad boys.
No.
Oh my gosh,
no.
Olivia.
Fall for bad boys
Olivia,
generate.
Are you with me? Okay.
I wasn't last week, but I'll tell you why I am this week.
No, I.
Okay.
I feel like. I don't know why. I
because he's handsome.
He is to me. He is a little handsome.
He is a little handsome.
No, but I feel like why would he go through all that trouble? He is, you know, a vigilante, and he is actually trying to do the right thing. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can trust him.
When he shot the guy that was about to shoot Renee, I was like, okay, maybe. What were you
saying?
Well,
do you remember when we first were introduced to him, like a few episodes back, and he was the bad guy killing the bad people. Do you remember that? Like the congressman that was corrupt or whatever, the congresswoman that was corrupt. So I think that he really is a double agent, and I really think that he is trying to take Caden down from the inside out.
I trust him.
And I think that we saw this in the intel that he gave today. Yeah. We saw it in saving
Renee.
Mm. Renee. And then we saw it when he got with the Black Canary and was like...
And he also loves her, and he's doing it for looks.
Yeah.
What do you think, guys? I feel the energy on this side of the room, and it's a big fat no.
Well, he's got his own opinions on it. I just kind of felt for a moment at the beginning they were setting him up to be like the next kind of a villain, like after they're done with the current kind of like, setting him up for the next kind of mini arc.
The
sort
big
of
fat,
thing.
Yeah.
Oh, me too. A weak ass Loki type situation. Well,
this guy's got opinions on that for days.
Yeah, because the thing is this, man. I mean, I understand that, like. He's supposed to complete the Black Canary. This is the third one we've had already in under, like, four seasons.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, I know.
Don't get me started.
So the thing is this. If you're going to have him be the vigilante and he's not to be the one from the comics, make it good. Like I said, I want you guys, the writers who are watching this, I got a lot of love for y'all for making this show happen and me being able to watch it every week. But delve deep into it. Like, if you do this type of jazz, it'd be more like Netflix level where it's more an in-depth thing. Because the thing is, we're only seeing the surface of him. It's like, is he good? Is he bad? Is he more of like a weak version of the Punisher with Wolverine's powers? Like that's all I'm seeing right now. I'm not seeing something that's going to convince me that he actually wants to change completely because he could be doing it as a setup. It could be a complete deceit. So like, I'm going
to
be guarded.
But are they trying to show him though? It seems like though they're giving us the vigilante from Dinah's perspective. Mm-hmm. So like we're not seeing the deeper stuff in him because they want us to be in the same position Dinah's in.
Okay.
That's what I'm feeling.
Yeah, I feel that too.
Oh my bad, because he can't be a double agent. He might be a triple agent.
Someone in the chat said that.
Yeah. But that's what I think Dinah's kind of like. Do I or not?
Yeah.
He's a good kisser. What do I do? Right. You know what I mean?
I mean, they did get rid of Ragman, so you can replace Ragman with him.
What do we...
Maybe they are going back to, like, the comic vigilante and, like, trying to make him not as bad, you know? Mm. Maybe they started with him being bad, and then now he's kind of, like...
Maybe. R.I.P. Ragman.
Maybe they're writing him as a villain, and then they wait a minute. He's got good chemistry with our cast, so let's rewrite that and make him good again.
Let's make him this show's Vegeta.
Which is... That happens a lot on shows, is that the writers, like, you know, if you watch Riverdale, like, Betty Cooper's mom, it gets amazing scenes because Matt can, whatever her name is freaking amazing on
that
show.
That's what happened with Felicity, actually. She was not supposed to, she was supposed to be, I saw this interview a long time ago. She was supposed to be like one or two episodes, and her and Ollie had such good chemistry that she stayed on, and now look at who she
is. Oh, wow.
Wow. This, she knows all things Felicity.
I know all things Felicity.
She does. She does know all things
Felicity. You guys want to talk more about how much of a crazy dude James Caden is?
Yeah.
Because he's just a savage right now.
Yeah.
Like,
Jack, he gives no
Mm-mm. Every 18 minutes, he's murdering somebody. That's some Nino Brown, Scarface level stuff right
there.
That
is.
I thought that was just hilarious, though, and I know it sucks. But when he killed those people in the elevator, just like, just killed people in the elevator.
The guy was like, no, and that one guy had to touch it. Now, were you all surprised that Oliver, that they wired them the money?
Yes, yeah.
I'm not.
Ridiculous. Because it's $10 million a day.
Well, he just did it once.
Yeah, but.
Yeah. And he's a billionaire, so.
You do it once.
No, he doesn't have any money
anymore. He doesn't have any money anymore. It's all Felicity. He's got a sugar mama.
He did have money, but now it's gone.
Got a sugar
mama. You do it one night, you're not going to do the next day. Yeah.
Well, next day they're going to fight stuff. Would you have done that? Would you have wired the money or no?
It's tough to say until you're in the position. I mean, I'd love to say I've got principles and I would not, but I mean, that's just kind of almost something. It's almost like they want to show us what the limits are of these people. So, like, you would think I'll be the kind of person that wouldn't either, mm-hmm. but then we see him do it, and it's like, oh, geez, yeah, he's just a guy doing what he can do. Yeah.
I feel y'all, but the thing is, man, it made Oliver look like a punk because he's like, yeah, I'm on the news. Your name's James. We're not going to associate with terrorists. We're not afraid of you.
Yeah.
Oh, was nobody watching? Yeah, give him the $10 million.
And then even to pick him piggyback off that, Caden was like, just like clockwork, like he's doing exactly what I thought you were gonna do, and then he sends the money, which is exactly what Caden knew he was gonna do.
I like that quote. He was like, he's so predictable, it almost takes the fun out of it. I was like, ooh, that's rude.
Exactly. Because if they would have been smart, it shouldn't have been Oliver that sent it. He should have told the team. It should have been someone that did it behind his back to show he has integrity, because the thing is, again, you're the leader. The leaders take the most burden. You can't be a leader unless you've got a big backbone.
I guess so, but there's a bomb, like Sean was saying. There was a bomb that was going to, and it. I believe the guy. You just said somebody's killing somebody every 18 minutes.
Yeah, sure.
When they say a bomb is going to blow up the entire city and kill everyone, I might be more inclined if we hadn't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
Of like $10 million for this day, and then you know Scarlett O'Hara. Tomorrow's another day, and let's like. Try to do our thing but and go at it.
They could have pulled a season 3 and called it a flash. I mean, we got like how many flashes now?
Yeah.
I mean, we got...
He's in jail.
I mean, we got Wally. We got Jesse. You know what I mean?
Someone on the... Ren on the chat said, Oliver wired the money to stall for one day. I mean, which is true.
That's like, an expensive stall.
I know, but if you're Bill Gates, $10 million is like, you know...
I just feel like he shouldn't have done it. He should have done it.
I think he did all he could. That's what I think.
I agree. I think that he did what he needed to do.
I know I can be hard on Oliver. Some of you upset at me last week. And I just want to say now, on record... I think Oliver did what he needed to do at that
point.
It's also possible he's baiting some kind of trap we don't know about yet.
I think that is what's happening.
Yeah.
We'll see what the
writers do. Let's talk about that because we're getting at that time. I was going to jump into predictions, but anybody else have anything else before we jump into predictions?
Do we need to talk about that quarter Maltese package and how, you know.
Oh,
I think I've got to put it out there that everybody caught that reference, the quarter Maltese. I can't ever hear that without being taken back to the 1989 Batman because that phrase was created for The Dark Knight Returns, and then they used it in the dialogue of the 1989 Batman movie, and it's actually a running joke in pop culture that people keep sneaking that Quarto Maltese into all different movies and stuff.
Wasn't it in The Dark Knight Returns, that's where Superman got hit in the face with a nuke?
Yeah,
exactly. And then he became like a little prune skeleton, and then he had to reabsorb the sun's energy.
Exactly, yeah, it was like the fictional war-torn region in that.
And they shot that in Batman vs. Superman, but they cut that out.
Oh, wow.
Which you should have cut the whole movie.
And thanks, Blob989. I'm sticking to my guns. Even though you guys were mad at me last time, I'm not for it. I'm not for the $10 million.
You're not for the $10 million.
No. So that was great knowledge because I actually didn't know that.
Oh, the quarter Maltese?
That's what I'm here for.
So, I mean, go ahead. What do you think about the box?
So the package. USB drive.
I think it's going to turn out that Oliver ended up killing Caden's son and not knowing it.
Yeah. But he wasn't even there. He was recruiting Dinah.
I know, but I'm... But
I think that he didn't do it. I think that's what's going to save them. They're going to somehow find proof, and then that's what's going to save them. Go ahead, Mike.
Do you think it might have been the last plan of Prometheus somehow? Because, you know, Prometheus was set up a lot of mind Fs.
Yeah, but I don't think Caden James would go that far.
That'd be a long callback, but maybe. Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. But when she said that Alina didn't find anything, I'm thinking he's just going to be blind. I think that maybe somehow, some way, Oliver did kill him and he didn't know. And he's going to have that, like, guilt feeling.
Amongst everything else.
Because yeah. I like doing that with
maybe
Oliver.
You're
take
right.
a number.
No, that's
maybe
what
when
I
she
think.
Was on the phone, because she did have a look on her face being like, oh. So maybe she did say find something, and then Felicity didn't want to tell Oliver. That's
maybe.
True.
Also, that does sound very much like the kind of plot twist that writers of a show like this would put
dumb,
in.
Dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be. Or maybe Diggle was Arrow and shot him.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Y'all didn't want to talk about the haxident, the new word?
Oh, I did enjoy the word haxident. Yeah, that was pretty good. All right, so are we in prediction time, everybody? Let's do predictions.
Your for next TV predictions.
1-2-3 suit up.
1-2-3 suit up. So, anybody have a prediction already, or do you want me to go for anybody?
Team Arrow is going to start rebuilding each other, rebuilding back to the normal, like back to a full team.
Yeah, that was going to be my prediction. Was that they were going to be a team again really soon, either next episode or the one after.
Okay, I think, because everybody looks paused, so I don't want to. I think my prediction that, I'm going to jump ahead to the end of this season, is going to end with, like, I don't know if Oliver's going to know about it, but definitely either he's doing it underground, but some way William is going to start, like, vigilanteing on the last episode of the season.
Yes.
That's what I think. That would be tight.
I agree with that, too. Go ahead.
I was going to say,
Mike Fallon's going to have a lot of predictions.
I'm sorry, y'all. That, what was I going to tell you? Oh, man, I blanked out.
That's all right. Think about
it.
Anybody
think about it. So I feel that way only because there's also, you know, we talked about Black Lightning and his daughters having powers, and I think that that's kind of the direction.
First lesbian black superhero.
No big deal.
On television, no big deal at all. Sorry, go ahead.
That, and I just think that it's like the next generation, which is right up the CW's alley, right? The young, beautiful, and then they have some crazy superpowers. So I agree with you 100%. I think that his son is going to have some type of vigilante / superpower moving forward.
I agree.
Sean Ward, predictions?
Well, I think that in the last episode, they're going to do a big reveal, and they're going to go full Fight Club. Caden, James, and Diggle have been the same guy all the way along. That's where they're going with that.
I would love that.
Oh, wow.
Full Fight Club. Full
and
Fight
Linda
Club.
Just lost it again.
You know what? I actually...
You know why? Because I thought it was going to be the FBI, the agent.
Freaking that girl.
I thought she was going to be the actual head of this crazy crew, but I'm loving that theory.
But in all seriousness, I think it's the focus is obviously going a lot more on the family aspect. So that kid is obviously, young William's being obviously built up into something. Yeah. So I think they're definitely teeing it up for Caden James to be the bad guy now. There's going to be probably one more kind of overarching villain in the kind of the back half of the season. Do a big build up to the reveal of the kid has been kind of like, maybe he's been lying to the parents already a few times. Maybe they've even done it where we haven't seen him go out, but the audience knows that he is going out. And then the final episode, we actually now see him out kicking ass or something. I can totally see it going that way.
Oh my God, that would be super.
So good.
Zia, that's probably not going to happen, but I love the idea. She's saying that maybe CW is going to pilot a young Justice.
Oh my God, don't
William,
say that.
Dawn, Thunder, and Lightning.
Yeah. I do know that they are doing Teen Titans, but
I was
that's
just
going to
say, they're only going to have two teenage team-up shows.
Well, the thing is, it's not that. It's Titans, so it's basically it's a mix of the Teen Titans, but with older members. You got Hawk and Dove, and Hawk's played by the OG Smallville Aquaman.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be Beast Boy, Raven, Starfire, and Nightwing, not Robin.
Yeah, it's going to be Nightwing. Yeah, and they better have a good ass, because Nightwing has a good ass. That's a comic. It's a joke in the comics.
I know, bro.
You do.
We already know, baby.
Even Mike Fallon knows that. And I read, too, that they're even talking about they weren't originally, but now they might even bring Wonder Girl into that, because Wonder Woman blew up so much.
Because what happened was it was because of a casting call, and one of the characters not named directly after Wonder Girl, but her description fits Wonder Girl.
Oh, I know. We reported that on CW Weekly, which is another show here on AfterBuzz that everybody can watch.
You know, I got a prediction. Maybe we lose a member at the end of the season.
I think we are, for sure.
Maybe the Vigilantes, we might lose Renee.
I think for sure.
Yeah.
And that said, on that hopeful note, it is time to wrap up. Sean Ward and Mike Fallon, thank you all so much for being here.
You
brought it.
You
brought
it.
You are welcome anytime. Yes, you are welcome anytime.
The way we finish stuff, Wu-Tang Financial. It's the Wu.
Wu-Tang. Wow. Tell everybody again where they can find you.
YouTube.com/The Sean Ward Show.
S-E-A-N, everybody. Yes. Mike Fallon, where can they find
YouTube.com/BigCypher90, BigCypher90. Otherwise, Instagram, Twitter, KingdomKid90. Get at me.
KingdomKid90. Linda.
Linda is so girly. So Linda and tweet all across social media. Linda is so girly.
Olivia Di Bartoli, at Olivia Di Bartoli everywhere.
And you can find me at the Matt Maher, MattMarr. You can also go to MattMarr.tv to find my other podcast, Riverdale, all that kind of stuff. I have to say, oh, and go to my Twitter and you can find the links to the YouTube channels at the Matt Maher. This Arrow episode was one of the best Arrow episodes, and this after show was one of the best. I didn't know the night could get any better, but this is a great show. Yeah, so thank you so much, guys.
Thank you guys.
And thank you, panel. Chat. You gave us some great, great information.
Yes.
We love you guys.
We'll
see you. I'll be in New Orleans next week, but they'll be here.
They'll be
on 99. But we'll see you next week. And yeah, be safe, y'all. Bye.
Bye.
Peace.
Bye. Bye.
Love you.
Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
1, 2, 3, suit up!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.